Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 20, the Word of God says, all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. To the glory of God through us. All the promises of God. In Him doesn't actually mean in Him. It's actually the word and it is by means of. So we can say, because of Him, or through Him, all the promises of God are yes, and all the promises of God are amen, which means so be it, or let it be fulfilled. When you pray at the end and you say amen, it's not just a weird word that you say and use like a period after your prayer. It actually means something. It means let it be fulfilled, so be it. God gives 8,793 promises. That's a lot of promises. Every single one of those promises is reliable. There is a promise for any situation in your life. I mean, do you really have 8,793 situations going on? You may have one or two, but I doubt it's more than 10. He's giving us 8,793 promises. Every single one of them, God said, yes, I will do it, so be it. Now, there's a question, though, about reliability. Because often we hear the promises of God, we're told we can trust the promises of God, and yet we get into circumstances where we're not sure about believing the promises of God. We'll say, I know God said it, but is He really going to do it? I know God said He would answer me, but will He? I know God said He would take care of me, but will He? I know He said if I pray, He'll do it, but will He really? Because it's only me. It's not like I'm some spiritual giant. By the way, there is no such thing as a spiritual giant. We sometimes think of spiritual giants. There are no giants. There's only people who know how to live with God, and then there's people who are learning how to live with God, and then there's unbelievers. But there's no such thing as a spiritual giant. The only spiritual giant was Jesus. Can you trust the promises of God? Well, we say we can, but why? Why can I trust the promises of God? And we say, well, God said it, He can't lie. Yeah, okay, theologically correct. But theology and practical experience can be two different things. So why can I, in terms that I can understand, trust the promises of God? Well, Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, and he's talking about Abraham here, I've made you a father of many nations. When Abraham got this promise, he was about 100 years old. You don't have children at 100 years old. But Abraham was about 100 years old. His wife was about 90 years old. She heard it and she laughed at him. She said, what? Do you have any idea how old I am? I mean, I know I look good, but really? And she laughed at it because she thought the idea was absurd. And really, by natural thinking, natural terms, it was absurd. But you know what? You can trust the promises of God. And God was about to show them, you can trust the promises of God. Young people, remember this. You can trust the promises of God. But then in that verse it continues and it says, God calls those things that are not as though they were. Now, does that mean that God is kind of giving us a wishful thought or maybe He's giving us a prediction? No, that's not what it says. He says the things that are not, He calls them as though they are. What He's saying is what appears to you that it is not, in reality, it is. Now, we may not see that right now. But then again, I can't see China. But it is. Likewise with the promises of God. All of the promises of God that He gives already are present. God says answers to prayer will come. It's already present. You haven't gotten to it yet, but it's already present. You can trust it. It's already there. If you need a financial provision, you don't have any money, you need some money, you have no way of getting any. God says, don't worry. I take care of my children, He says. If you have a need, the answer to your need, the solution, is already present. You can trust the promises of God. In Isaiah 46:10, the Word of God says He declares the end from the beginning. Does anybody have any idea how He does that, kids? Okay, this is how He does this. Remember what we said about time? That time is not what it appears to be. Time is very different than it actually appears to be. Albert Einstein, one of the greatest scientists to ever live, showed us this, that time is very different than it appears. That all of time, past, present, and future, exists at once, simultaneously. That time is like a table, and you have all these things on the table, and you're like this little ant walking across the table, and you encounter one thing after another thing after another thing. You guys remember that? The promises of God are already on the table. You can't see it because your vantage point, your reference point, where you are looking from is too small. You can't see that far. Have you ever noticed that if you look out maybe at the ocean or something, you can only see to the edge, what looks like the edge of the world? It's not, but it looks like it. And you can't see any farther. Or maybe you're standing on a ball field and you're trying to see something in the distance, but you can only see so far and you can't see any farther. It's like that with time also. Is there anything beyond what you can see when you're standing at the ocean looking out and you see what looks like the edge? Is there anything more? Of course there is. There's a whole world more. It's like that with time. From where we are standing, we can't see it. But God says it's already in place. You just haven't gotten to it yet. God, is there healing? Of course there is. But God, right now I'm sick. That's okay. You just haven't gotten to it yet. God, is there a provision for me? Yes, there is. I don't have it. That's okay. You just haven't gotten to it yet. God, will you answer my prayer? I don't see the answer. That's okay. You just haven't gotten to it yet. Why doesn't God just put it right on top of us? Because sometimes we can't handle the answer at the time. Sometimes we need to grow. Sometimes He wants to show us something along the way. But He always gives us the answer. If I have a problem, if I have a situation, if I have a prayer request, if I have anything at all, God always puts it in time. And sometimes it takes a short while to get there. And sometimes it takes a longer while to get there. But you always get there. Why? It's on the table. If it's on the table, it exists. Plain and simple. If it's on the table, it exists. If it's in time, it exists. God is telling us here, declaring the end from the beginning. He's saying that everything from the very beginning to the very end has already been put out there for you. So you don't have to be afraid of whether God's promises are going to come through. They are. They're already on the table. It's only an issue of getting to them. And once you get to them, you'll experience them. It's that simple. You can trust God because God already sees them. God's like the person sitting at the table where you can see the whole thing. And we're like that little ant where we can't see the whole thing. So when God tells you it's there, the promises are there, don't worry, I see the end from the beginning, I see the left of the table and the right of the table and everything in between, I can see it all, God says, and it's there. You can trust the promises of God because the answer is already present. The promise is already present. The provision is already present. Remember something. And guys, I want you to remember this. If there is a problem, the problem is proof of your solution. If there was no solution, God would not allow the problem. So if you have a request, your request is proof of the answer. If the answer was not in place, God would not allow the request. If you have any kind of trouble, if you have a financial need, if you have a health concern, if you have trouble with your teachers or friends or anything, the solution is in place, and the problem is the proof of the solution. Because if the solution was not there, the problem would not be allowed to exist. The problem is kind of like a roadmap. You get a problem so it will lead you to a solution. You don't get a problem just for the sake of a problem. You get a problem because it leads you to a solution. The promises of God are the path we take to the solution. And so the promises of God are what leads me to my answers. God gives me a promise. If you pray, you'll receive. And so I pray. God says, ask me for healing and I'll heal you. So I ask Him for healing. God says, trust me and I'll take care of it. So I trust Him. These become paths to my solution. You can trust the promises of God because the promises are already in place. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, the Word of God says that God puts an eternal frame of reference into us. How does He do that? He does that through the Word of God. In other words, I can't see the entire table if I'm this tiny little ant. But through the Word of God, I start to see things the way God sees them. And by faith, I can see the beginning and the end and the different points in between because I trust God about what He says about all the points from the beginning to the end. And as I trust God and I start accepting the promises of God, I start trusting the Word of God, I start to see things the way God sees them. So although I'm just this little ant on the table, I know that the promise is present. I don't have any question about it because the promises of God are already there and the Word of God tells me about that. And so I know the promises of God are already present. I can trust them. I can be confident in them. And though I can't see them, I know it because I have an eternal frame of reference. I have the same confidence about the promises of God that God has. Because I believe what God said. It's really very simple. It's not complicated. Remember, if it's complicated, you're doing it wrong. It's really very simple. People like say, well, it's a very complicated situation. No, it's not. It's only complicated when you start leaving what God said and trying to figure it out with a mind that has no ability to figure out beans. No, it's already simple. It's very simple. It's what God said. And there's the answer. Like my old friend, Pastor Ben in Israel, he would always say, Jesus is your answer. What's your question? It's really that simple. Jesus is your answer. What's your question? The Word of God is your answer. What's your question? The promises of God are your answer. What's your question? It's really very simple. Will He do it? I don't know if He'll do it. Of course He'll do it. But I don't know. Doesn't matter. I don't know that China really exists. You know why I don't know that China really exists? Because I'm weird. That's the same way it is. Well, I don't know if God's going to do what He said. That's because you're weird. Don't worry. You'll get better. It doesn't matter if I know or don't know. God is still faithful. God doesn't change His mind because of me. God said it. It's on the table. That simple. I can trust the promises of God. God said it. It's on the table. In Psalm 119:89, forever, O God, Your word is settled in heaven. Heaven, by the way, is talking about all three heavens. It's the word Shaim, and it's talking about the first heaven, which is where we are. It's talking about the second heaven, which is the universe. And it's talking about the third heaven, which is where God lives. Since it is talking about all three heavens, it is saying that right now, here, we can trust the Word of God because it's established here, but it is also established in the universe, which is, as Einstein showed us, space and time, same thing. So when it's talking about the second heaven, it's not just talking about the vastness of the universe, it's talking about all of time. The Word of God is permanently throughout all of time. The promises of God are permanently throughout all of time. That means there's never a time or a point in time when the Word of God will expire. You know what expires? Milk. The Word of God does not expire. So you can trust it, and it doesn't really matter even how long it takes you to get there. The length of time it takes you to get there does not reflect on the existence of the promise or the reality of the promise. The promise will not expire. It is in all of time. And then it's also given out of eternity by God, who's on the throne, in heaven, and in your heart, living inside of you and on the throne in heaven. That's a pretty good deal. And therefore, it has all the authority of heaven. That means that it must be as God has said, because there is no greater authority than what God has said. So God gives you a promise regarding whatever situation you're in. Just get into a situation, go to the Word of God, and find the promises. If you don't know where to find them, get one of those little Bible promise books. They're awesome. And find the promises of God for your situation. And then you can rest, and you can get some peace, and you don't have to be afraid, and you can have some confidence, because God essentially tells you what's already on the table that you're heading for. And as you trust it, you get to enjoy the benefits. You don't often think about difficult situations if it's having benefits, right? Well, Paul gloried in his tribulations, because Paul learned, and it was through experience, that tribulation actually had benefit, that suffering had purpose and outcome and value, that things that challenge you actually build you, that the end of things is always better than the beginning of them. And that includes things that challenge you. Paul knew you could trust the promises of God. You know what? You can trust the promises of God. They're already in place. You may not see them yet. Doesn't mean they're not there. I mean, if I sit on the airplane, I go down to New York or Washington or something like that, and I get on the airplane, and the airplane ticket says China. You know what? I may not see China from the airplane, but the airplane will get me there. You may not see the result at the beginning, but you will see the result at the end. Because the promise will come true. The promise can be trusted. You guys understand? Okay, that's it for today.